Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas has defended the Czech refusal to join the EU's fiscal compact in the lower house of parliament. The Social Democrats have called on the Prime Minister to apologize for stating that the party would block a Senate vote for direct presidential elections. And Czech soccer player David Bystroň has tested positive for doping. Prime Minister Petr Nečas presented his reasons for not signing the EU's planned fiscal compact in the lower house of parliament on Thursday. He said that the government had given him limited authority to sign the compact. For this reason, he was not able to give a clear yes or no at the EU summit in Brussels, where 25 out of 27 EU member states signed the new treaty, which aims to establish greater fiscal responsibility across Europe. The Prime Minister added that since the final draft of the treaty had been negotiated at the summit, it would not have been possible to analyze its consequences prior to signing it. However, he noted that nothing stood in the way of the Czech Republic being able to sign the fiscal compact at a later stage. Aside from the Czech Republic, the only EU member to not sign the treaty was the UK. The Social Democrats have called on Prime Minister Petr Nečas to give them an official apology for his claim that the party, which has a majority in the Czech Senate, would be trying to block a legislative change that paves the way for direct presidential elections. The head of the Social Democrats, Bohuslav Sobotka, announced at a news conference on Thursday that what the Prime Minister had said was not fair towards the party or the country's citizens. The Social Democrats are longtime supporters of direct presidential elections, he added. On Wednesday, the Czech Senate had approved an amendment to the country's constitution introducing direct presidential elections. A total of 49 out of 81 senators voted in favor of the new legislation. Once signed into law by President Václav Klaus, the bill will allow Czechs to elect their president directly for the first time next year when Mr. Klaus's second term expires. Among those who said that they would consider running for the post are Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, former Prime Minister Jan Fischer, and economist Jan Švejnár. Soccer player David Bystroň, who currently plays defense for FC Viktoria Plzeň, has tested positive for doping and has been banned from playing for 2 years. The Disciplinary Committee of UEFA, the European Football Association, announced its decision to disqualify him from playing on Thursday. The 30-year-old soccer player had been tested at a November Champions League match. The blood sample was analyzed in January. Allegedly, traces of methamphetamine were found in his blood. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. Harsh weather conditions with frost and Arctic temperatures are set to continue here, with daytime highs ranging between only -8 and -4 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of today's news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, direct election of the next Czech president has been approved by Parliament. And as the government urges Czech companies to diversify exporting, we'll look at one company expanding its position in the United States. Later on in the program, we'll have this week's panorama on how Czechs compare when it comes to computer literacy and internet access. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Czech citizens themselves will choose their next president in 2013 for the first time in history. After years of public and partisan discussion and 5 final hours of heated debate on Wednesday, the Czech Senate passed a constitutional amendment allowing direct election of the head of state by the people. As the current president, Václav Klaus, who has called the decision a fatal mistake, is unable to veto a constitutional amendment, I asked political analyst Jan Oatley if anything at all can stop direct presidential elections now.
I think it has gone too far to be stopped. we can see that even some politicians are surprised that it has gone so far. So I don't believe it can be stopped at this stage.
Well, in practical terms, in the United States, for example, campaigning begins almost 2 years before the election. When is campaigning likely to begin in the Czech Republic?
Well, that's something that we have to wait for. Nobody can say it today. In my opinion, 5-6 months in advance is the minimum for a candidate to run a successful campaign.
And the change in the method of election means a drastic change in the chances of the candidates who have been announced so far. We could speculate, for example, that Karl Schwarzenberg would have had an upwards battle in parliamentary elections, but maybe much better chances in direct election. Who now does the system favor, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, we will have two types of candidates. First type will be candidates that will be connected to political parties, because it's quite difficult to run a nationwide campaign without a support of a strong institution like a political party. The second type of candidates will be, let's say, independent candidates, which basically means that it will be people who have enough money to run their own campaign. I believe that the first type of candidates will be more successful. I think that political parties are so established institutions in the Czech Republic that they are able to create a campaign which will, let's say, contact people more, which will allow the candidates to have more organizational basis, which is something that I believe will be more important than money under conditions when we will have, let's say, 5, 6, 7 candidates. I think this is more important than simply the amount of money in the campaign.
Lastly, this remained a controversial topic right up to the end, with many for and against in the parliament. What, as a political scientist, what is your own opinion on direct elections of the president?
In terms of the influence on the political system, I'm convinced that this is not a good step. Direct election of the president under the conditions of Czech politics will lead to the fact that the government will be weaker than it is today. We can see that even with quite weak powers that the president possesses today, the president can play quite an important role in the system. The president, depending on his or her personality, is able to force governments to do things that he or she likes. And without weakening his powers, the president will become extremely strong player in the system.
Why would that necessarily be a bad thing when 12 of the EU member states already have elected heads of state?
Well, such things, you know, cannot be transported from one country to another country. You always have to consider conditions and political culture in the country. We probably do not have many countries in Europe in which a weak president would be able to force the prime minister to block an international treaty, for example, which is the case of the euro negotiations today. We cannot see any other example under a strong parliamentary system where prime minister would solve his crisis in the coalition with the president. So in the Czech Republic, we should consider the tradition that has developed in the politics. And the tradition means that the president has always been considered to be a strong player, an authority, which can influence politics quite a lot. And if such an actor will be elected directly, since now his role will be strengthened further, which is not good for the system.
That was political scientist Jan Oatley of the University of Hradec Králové. This is Radio Prague. A leading Czech producer of lighting products, Prokosia Lighting, aims to expand its position in the United States. The firm, with a centuries-old glass-making tradition, has now opened a permanent showroom in Dallas, Texas, a must for anybody who's anybody in the industry, says Prokosia Lighting's sales director, Petra Machachkova. Jan Richter sat down with Ms. Machachkova and asked her about her company's plans.
Preziosa Lustre, our company, we have decided to concentrate on two markets, Russia and USA. And if you want to enter US market in residential lighting, you must be in Dallas. The Dallas Market Show, which is held in January and June, it's considered as the best trade show trademark for residential lighting. So that's the reason why we are there.
What about the products that you'll be or you are offering in that showroom? Are there any different from what you offer in other markets?
We offer the complete portfolio of our residential lightings, which means casted lightings, mouse-blown lightings, brilliant lighting. But what is the difference is the design. We had to alter it to the taste and to the standard of US market.
How is the taste and the standards of the US market different from, let's say, the Czech Republic?
Well, it's I would start with the standard. You must consider that the height of the ceiling in the US is much higher. Also, they are not used to assemble chandeliers, to use the manual work. So we had to adapt it, and the design is, I would say, slight changes. Sometimes there is like more trimmings, it's more decorated. In some items, it's less decorative than in Czech Republic. And I don't think you can actually say what is really the difference. So they're like the small changes.
Is the taste in the United States similar to the taste of your customers in Russia?
I don't think so. I think that the taste in Russia is still very, very Russian. And like Russian market is the second market we want to concentrate, as I mentioned before. So the design will have to be different as well.
How do you find out these differences? Do you have someone who studies the taste of the customers and the best-selling equipment and the best-selling lighting in those countries, and then you adjust your products accordingly? Or how does it work?
Well, for example, in States, we cooperate with Michael Beer, who is the former vice president of Schomburg, the most successful lighting company in North America. So he knows the market. So we're working with him, and he gives us the advice and suggestions. And we also cooperate with the designers from local market. Plus, our designers, they travel around the world. We've got our own subsidiary, so they go and they stay for a couple of months, for example, in Hong Kong or just locally, and they go around and to see what is the difference and how it works like there.
How do you choose your designers, and who are they? Are they Czech glass designers, or where do you look for them?
Well, we cooperate very closely with schools of art, so we've been trying to find the designers already from the school years. And then we've got already our designers. We've got a group of maybe 15 designers working only for us. They sit in a factory or they travel around with customers to visit customers. And the other option is to work with external designers. So, for example, in Czech Republic, we closely cooperate with Mr. Ronnie Plesl, that he designed few modern lightings for us. So we are very open to any designers. We also, this year, we sponsored the Czech Grand Design Award, and we became a partner for the category of the New Talent of the Year. And the student or the winner of the category will have an opportunity to realize his work or her work in our factory.
Preziosa Sales Director Petra Makhachkova there talking to Jan Richter. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Computers and the internet have become an integral part of our lives to such an extent that it is hard to imagine how we ever managed without them. However, a recent survey conducted by the Czech Statistical Office shows that Czechs are still lagging behind many EU states when it comes to computer literacy and internet access. Daniela Lazarova has more in this week's Panorama.
Most Czechs first had hands-on experience with computers after the fall of communism in 1989, when the fall of the Iron Curtain opened the door to Western technology. Even so, in the 1990s, the internet was restricted to academic and business use. In 2000, only 10% of the population used the internet, but the rate expanded rapidly in the following years. By 2005, 50% of the population was connected to the internet. Then the pace of expansion slowed, and figures from 2011 show that the Czechs are below the European average, both in the number of computers per household and the number of internet connections. Today, 2/3 of Czech households have computers, and 61% of households are connected to the internet, putting the Czechs 20th and 18th respectively on the EU ladder, just below Slovakia and Poland, which also have a communist past. The EU average in internet use is 70%, with the Netherlands at the top of the ladder with 91% of the population connected to the internet. The highest number of internet users in the Czech Republic is between the age of 14 and 30, where people use the internet both in school or work or at home for entertainment, with the number of internet users dropping in the higher age brackets. While younger people are more inclined to use the internet as a source of information and entertainment and spend more hours online per week, with approximately 3 to 5 hours a week spent on social networks, older people are more inclined to employ it for practical purposes, such as more effective job hunting or in ways that will help them save money. Bohumila Beranová is from the Czech Statistical Office.
Czech usually phone by internet using the Skype, because I think mobile services in the Czech Republic are too expensive for people. They also like to find up the information about goods and services, traveling and about health. It can be said that men surf the net more often than women, and in terms of gender profile, men buy electronics and on the other hand women just clothes, shoes, and cosmetics.
A comparative study of internet use in Chile, Sweden, and the Czech Republic shows that Czechs spend significantly less time at home online. This reflects a problem that Czech employers have been struggling to deal with: the fact that Czechs spend on average 1 hour of their work time browsing the web, either chatting with friends, shopping online, or even playing computer games or viewing porn pages. Some employers have blocked access to certain pages, others monitor the time their employees spend on the internet. Over 10,000 companies in the country have some sort of control system. When an employee was first fired over this transgression, he took the case to court and lost. Most employers now issue warnings or fine people for wasting company time. On the other hand, some firms use it as a bonus. A recent survey showed that internet access is an important criterion for young people applying for a job, and many would be willing to accept a lower salary than that offered for a comparable job but with no internet access. Surveys even show when employees are likely to shirk their work: soon after coming in and immediately after lunch. While Czechs may be lagging behind the EU average in internet use, young Czechs have taken to social networks like ducks to water, and in the present day, shunning them amounts to social suicide. According to an EU Kids Online survey presented by the European Commission, Czech teenagers are high up on the EU ladder when it comes to networking. 90% of youngsters aged between 13 and 16 have a profile on at least one social network. 52% of Czech kids between 9 and 12 have a profile that they update regularly, compared to just 25% in France and 27% in Germany, which puts them in 8th place on the EU ladder. It also, however, involves a lot of risks, and internet safety awareness is a big topic in this country.
Tohle musí být malá Anička. Ty máš ale krásného králíčka. Pojď, ukážu ti jednoho živého.
Ve skutečném životě byste své děti chránili. Proč je nechráníte i na internetu?
A TV internet safety awareness ad launched several years ago, telling parents they need to know how their children spend time online and who their internet pals are. Theoretically, Czech parents are well versed in internet safety, according to a survey commissioned by Microsoft and released this week on Internet Safety Day. Czech parents got high grades when it comes to internet safety literacy. A full 90% of them were aware of the risks and how to best reduce them. However, the Internet Safety Child Helpline, established a few years ago, says that the number of calls for help they get are on the rise. While in 2007 only 7 children called in to ask for advice, last year helpline workers took 230 calls. Most complained about cyberbullying or getting pestered by someone requesting a meeting. Pavel Vichtera of Safety.cz says that because children are often needy, they are easy targets.
50% of kids get online hoping to find a new friend. And the risks are in that they have no idea who they are actually dealing with.
While young people are unable to imagine life without the internet, the elderly generally find that they can do well enough without it. Although 90% of all seniors over 70 now use a mobile phone, only a tiny fraction of the country's elderly have made friends with the internet. Bohumila Beranova again.
In the group of people in age from 65 to 74 years old, use internet only 6% from them. And in the group of people in age 75 and more, it's only 1%.
However, many seniors get younger members of the household to search for whatever they need, be it a bus connection or viewing Sunday's Mass at their local church online.
Amen.
85-year-old Adolf Kurka used to attend Sunday Mass regularly until he broke his leg on the ice and was housebound. However, thanks to a new service offered by the local parish, he is not missing out on his Sunday sermon. Every Sunday morning, his son sets up his own notebook in time for the much-awaited Mass.
I have been afraid to step outside when it's icy, and this way I can follow the Mass from home. It's a great joy and a treat for me to be present at least in this manner.
For the present time, computer literacy among the elderly remains low, and most are dependent on younger family members. But as the population ages and more information and services for them become available on the internet, that is sure to change.
Daniela Lazarova there with Panorama. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Prague's Czech language program, The ABC of Czech. We are nearing the end of the alphabet. Today's letter is V, and with it comes the topic of village life. In this sense, the letter V works well in Czech too, for village is
vesnice,
and the rural countryside is
venkov.
To us, city rats, life in the countryside may seem idyllic, and often we wish we could live in the country.
Na vesnici,
or
na venkově,
close to nature,
blízko přírodě.
It is a Czech national custom that people leave cities en masse on Friday evening and travel to their weekend houses or cottages.
Chaty, chalupy.
Away in the country, where they spend the weekend toiling away in the garden.
Zahrádka.
Weeding their vegetable patches.
Zeleninové záhonky.
And tending their hotbeds.
Pařeniště.
And greenhouses.
Skleníky.
That is hardly the idea of a relaxing weekend for the countrymen.
Vesničané,
or
venkované,
who work in agriculture,
zemědělství,
on a farm,
statek,
or in a forest,
les.
Villages are typically surrounded by fields,
pole,
meadows,
louky,
orchards,
sady,
or pastures,
pastviny,
full of grazing cattle,
dobytek.
The most common Czech farm animals are cows,
krávy,
and pigs,
prasata.
Sheep,
ovce,
and goats,
kozy,
are not as common. I had better stop here because village life to me is really
španělská vesnice.
This is an idiom which literally means a Spanish village, but it can be loosely translated as it's all Greek to me. Anyway, townspeople or countrymen, these days we all live in a global village.
Globální vesnice.
And that's the end of today's program, but we'll be back with more next time. Please listen again if you can. Until then,
naschledanou.
Bye bye.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or, of course, by snail mail to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.